Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, The Appearance of Sukadev Goswami, Text Number 6. Yavaila Satri Tulasi Dimishra,
Yavaila Satri Tulasi Dimishra,
Krishna Kriveni Pagani Abhyani Kambhunetri. Punati loka nubayatra sesha Kasta na sevita marisya manaha
Kasta na sevita marisya manaha
The river which by always lasat, floating with Sri Tulasi,
Tulasi leaves.
Vimishra, mixed.
Krishna Angri,
lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna, Renu, dust. Abhyadika, auspicious, Ambu, water, Netri, that which is caring, Punati, sanctifies, Lokan, planets, Ubayatra, both the upper and lower or inside and outside, Sa Ishan, along with Lord Shiva, Kaha.
Who else?
Tam, that river.
Na does not.
Sevita, worship.
Marishyamanaha,
one who is to die at any moment. Translation. The river Ganges, by which the king said to fast, carries the most auspicious water, which is mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and tulsi leaves. Therefore, that water sanctifies the three worlds inside and outside, and even sanctifies Lord Shiva and the other demigods. Consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, just after receiving the news of his death within 7 days, at once retired from family life and shifted himself to the sacred bank of the Yamuna River. Generally, it is said that the king took shelter on the bank of the Ganges, but according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the king took shelter on the bank of the Yamuna. Srila Jiva Goswami's statement appears to be more accurate because of the geographical situation. Maharaj Parikshit resided in his capital Hastinapur, situated near present Delhi, and the river Yamuna flows down past the city. Naturally, the king would take shelter of the river Yamuna because she was flowing past his palace door. And as far as sanctity is concerned, the river Yamuna is more directly connected with Lord Krishna than the Ganges. The Lord sanctified the river Yamuna from the beginning of his transcendental pastimes in the world. While his father Vasudev was crossing the Yamuna with the baby Lord Krishna, for a safe place at Gokul, on the other bank of the river from Mathura, the Lord fell down in the river, and by the dust of his lotus feet, the river at once became sanctified. It is especially mentioned herein that Maharaj Parikshit took shelter of that particular river, which is beautifully flowing, carrying the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna mixed with tulsi leaves. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are always besmeared with the tulsi leaves, and thus as soon as his lotus feet contact the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna, the rivers become at once sanctified. The Lord, however, contacted the river Yamuna more than the Ganges. According to the Varaha Purana, as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, there is no difference between the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna. But when the water of the Ganges is sanctified 100 times, it is called the Yamuna. Similarly, it is said in the scriptures that 1,000 names of Vishnu are equal to one name of Rama, and three names of Lord Ram are equal to one name of Krishna. Om Agyanati Nandasya Kinandina Shilakaya Chakshun Nitanyena Tasmai Shri Yurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mnobi Samsatitanya Mnobutane Swayam Bhagada Mayam Yuradisa Mnobutane Narayana Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottam Devim Sarvatam Vyasam Tato Jaya Vidivaya Nasta Prayasha Patre Shri Nikyam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhakti Naistakim Vanshe Kalpatra Vishcha Kripa Sinribya Evacha Pitita Nam Harnibyo Vaishnavibyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shrivita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, Hare Krishna. I'll try and speak something. Dr. Prabhu was going to give class, but he couldn't do it. So I'm just jumping in, literally. So the chapter is entitled The Appearance of Sukadev Goswami. And this is the last chapter of Canto 1. So we've been hearing an entire synopsis of how the Bhagavatam was being prepared to come and be spoken. So the first point here, we've been hearing about how Parikshit Maharaj came to situate himself firmly once he had heard that his time in this body, his time on the planet, would come to an end in 7 days. So immediately for one who has contact with higher knowledge, they understand that they must situate themselves in the activities that will free one from the cycle of repeated birth and death, free one from the shackles of the modes of material nature which bind one to material existence. So in the translation we are hearing about the sacred waters, the Ganges River, and more clarification by the Acharyas, specifically Srila Jiva Goswami, stating the supremacy of the river Yamuna over the Ganges River. However, we always must understand that both the Ganges and the Yamuna, they are transcendental waters, because the Lord Himself has touched with His lotus feet these waters and therefore sanctified their existence. So the river Ganges, by which Maharaj Parikshit would take shelter of, it is very significant because we know the pastime of Lord Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj, in which Bali Maharaj had given his full surrender by allowing the Lord to place his last step on his head, and the Lord eventually pierced with that last step, he, with his toe, pierced the covering of the material world and allowed the sacred river Ganges to flow. And of course, scientifically, they see this as the Milky Way. We understand in the celestial planets, it is the Mandakini River, and when it comes down to this domain, it is the sacred Ganges River. So this water that has been sanctified by Krishna, or anything actually that the Lord has performed his pastime, has immense potency and has value, because the Supreme Person, Krishna, has purified that atmosphere. And more specifically, the river Yamuna, as we hear in the translation, from the time of Lord Krishna's birth, the Lord was already enacting his pastime in the sacred waters of the river Yamuna. And we hear in the song that we sing before entering into the mystery of Srimad Bhagavatam, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balabhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Dhanachari. So we're hearing of the pastimes, the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual domain, in which the river Yamuna is mentioned, how the Lord every day goes to sport in the river Yamuna with his cowherd friends, with his gopis, with the calves and the cows. So the Lord performs a lot of his personal pastimes around this sacred river Yamuna. His pastimes with the Kaliya serpent, his pastimes, where he has his picnics, where he sports in the water with his gopis, with his cowherd friends. This is all enacted by the sacred waters of the Yamuna, and this is why the Yamuna is so glorified, because the Supreme Person, the Absolute Truth, in his most original form, in his Shyamasundara Tribhanga form, is sporting his pastimes by the waters of the Yamuna. So this does not, of course, minimize the waters of the Ganges, but the supremacy of the river Yamuna comes with the supremacy of the original form of the Lord, the Swayam Bhagavan form, Sri Krishna. And of course, we understand that the saintly persons themselves purify the waters of the Ganges, because the Ganges River persons go there to get purified from their sinful activities after prolonged use. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's mention about how Mother Ganges was thinking how she would become pure, because so many persons would come and bathe in her water and contaminate her water. And Lord Vishnu responded by explaining how when the saintly persons come, they will purify her waters. So it is very interesting that here in this Bhagavatam section, Sukadeva Goswami is appearing. Maharaj Parikshit has placed himself at the shelter of the sacred river Yamuna, the Ganges, where the Lord performed his pastime, so that he can be in constant remembrance of the Supreme Personality. And later on, the sages, the saintly persons, come to reside by the banks of these rivers, not that they can take bath. You know, Srila Sridhar Swami mentioned this, I was reading and unveiling his lotus feet. It is not that the sages came, because naturally we go to a holy theater, we go to a holy place, we take bath, we go and hear from the sadhus. But here specifically, we will hear, there will be an elaborate mentioning of the different sages, the different munis, the different brahmas who came and took association of Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. They did not go there specifically to take bath, but they went there to go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the point. And very interesting, Srila Sridhar Swami mentions, just from text 5, this chapter, he hints that actually at this point we understand that Maharaj Parikshit, he was already a pure devotee, even before the Bhagavatam was spoken. He had already realized Krishna. And of course we can understand the character of Parikshit Maharaj, that while in the womb, he was already protected by the Lord personally. And ever since he came out of the womb, he was searching for that personality who had offered him protection. So the presence of Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj Parikshit is the perfect combination of the perfect master and the perfect disciple, because they have the adhikar, they have the qualification to hear and they have the qualification to speak. So at some point in this purport, it begins by explaining how all of us are actually destined to die. So birth means death. Of course, when we're young, it is very difficult to fathom that we're going to die, because we have so much energy, our body is great, nothing is giving us problems, we can digest pretty much anything, we can be as irregulated as we want, life goes on, but the body is destined to die. So birth means death. For an intelligent person, they understand birth means death. Therefore, as Parikshit Maharaj is doing here, he's taking shelter of Krishna and his devotees. So death is not the ultimate, it is not the end all, it is just a phase. Just as birth comes, we get over birth, we grow up. We remain for some time, we produce some byproducts, then the body starts, you know, doing its thing, breaking down, and then we exit the body. So it is all different phases of existence. And death is similarly just one other phase that we have to go through. And depending on our consciousness, we come back and take on another birth, or we stop the cycle altogether. And the human form of life, it is meant for this rejection of the continued cycle of birth and death. We are meant to actually break out of that cycle. That is why when one misuses the human form of life, it is a great tragedy. It is a great tragedy because that is the only opportunity that one has to actually utilize through their intelligence, utilize the human form of life by inquiring about the subject matters of the Absolute Truth, inquiring about the nature of matter and spirit. So everyone who is taking birth is sure to die. Now here Maharaj Parikshit, he's humbling himself and placing himself at the lotus feet of a holy place where the Lord performs his pastimes, hoping that he will be in constant remembrance of Krishna and his devotees. Because here I was trying to meditate on this example that has always been given, how we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And in this verse we hear that the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord was mixed with the tulsi leaves. We understand tulsi is a servant of Krishna. So Krishna's mercy, it doesn't only come by Krishna himself, but it is Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the devotee. That combination is what gets us out of the cycle of birth and death. Maharaj Parikshit could understand that the mercy of Krishna came by this pure devotee coming to speak Bhagavatam to him, by the assembled sages coming to also give his association, by the sadhu's association. So this is Krishna's mercy. The association of devotees, it is Krishna's mercy, so that we can relish the topics about Krishna, we can relish Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. It is very difficult to relish Krishna by yourself. There's so much nectar in Krishna consciousness that you cannot think of having a Harinam by yourself and just being ecstatic by yourself. You have to be with other devotees. It is even more pleasurable. But when the devotees see one another dancing in kirtan, honoring prasadam, worshipping the deity nicely, it gives great joy. That's why we have these loving reciprocations given by the acharyas, that we are reciprocating with Krishna's devotees, and that is how we get Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavan prasada yasya prasada nagati putopi. That the combination, the equation has to be Krishna's mercy and the devotee's mercy. That is the equation of going back home, back to Godhead. We depend on the mercy of Krishna, and we're depending on the mercy of Krishna's devotee. That combination will give us success in Krishna consciousness. So we never stick to a Kanista mentality, thinking it is just me and it is just Krishna. It is just me and it's just the Acharya-graha. But we're thinking the Acharya-graha expands his mercy by the spiritual master and the association of the other devotees. That is the mercy of Krishna. We don't just see me and the deity and disregard Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy is everywhere, but we have to be intelligent enough to see it. We have to be purified at heart to appreciate Krishna's mercy. Sometimes we take it for granted. We're in the association of devotees, we're in the association of Srimad Bhagavatam, but we become so lackadaisical that we're thinking it is a mundane affair. Oh, I can get it somewhere else, I can just listen, I can somewhere else by myself. But actually, over a few years, we come to realize that it is this wave of Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the devotees that keeps us going in devotional service. The Maharaj Parikshit, he is slowly seeing this. Vrijam Prabhu explained in unveiling his lotus feet that he, Maharaj Parikshit, started asking himself, I am a king. Naturally, they see kings as not really sinful personalities, but because they're focusing on economics, on politics, they see them as, Guryapu was explaining it, they sometimes have to perform some sinful activity, they're kshatriyas, they have to hurt, they have to kill. So they're contaminated. He was seeing himself like that. And he was thinking, why is it that Krishna is sending so many sadhus into my, you know, into my space just when I'm leaving my body? It is Krishna's mercy. And this so-called difficult period, this reversal in my life, this being cursed by a little Brahmana boy, it is actually Krishna's mercy. Because now I get the overwhelming association of the sadhus, specifically Sukadeva Goswami. So reversals in our Krishna consciousness, we should learn to see them from a long-term vision. Short-term, we become disturbed because our mind cannot understand how is it that this reversal is meant for my Krishna consciousness. Due to the association of Rajagun and Tamagun, it is difficult for us to have a steady mind and to see long-term that this is for my benefit. Because, you know, Rajagun and Tamagun ignite us to want results immediately, ignite us to want to see and touch the reality right there, right now. This is the mode of passion. We want to see those results. We have this fruit of mentality, intense desires and longings. And if those aren't met, then the lower modes creep up. This anger comes up. Why aren't I getting the results right now? But with practice, we start seeing, we start using a long-term vision in devotional service. We know that by gradually chanting Hare Krishna, my sinful mentality becomes annihilated and I can take shelter of Krishna. So this taking shelter of the lotus feet, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport, is the whole point to human life, that we come to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And I was thinking, this question comes up, most people are always asked, what do you mean to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet? And later on in the purpose, we'll hear more about Srila Prabhupada, how he explains it. And Prabhupada explains that taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet means that we become free from the effects of all previous sins. And Prabhupada mentions in a few purports, hence we take shelter. Hence Krishna has a name called Mukunda, one who gives liberation. We have to understand here, it explains how even the waters of the Ganges, the waters of the Yamuna, they sanctify even the great demigods like Lord Shiva. Even the greatest demigods, Indra, Lord Brahma, they cannot award liberation. This name Mukunda, the giver of liberation, it is only attributed to Krishna. Because Krishna, Vishnu Tattva, has that principle. And the principle of Vishnu Tattva is that Vishnu Tattva liberates one. It gets one out of the cycle of birth and death. Hence Krishna's name is Mukunda, the giver of liberation. So sinful activities, sinful proclivities, they are associated with the material body. They are associated with duality. Sinful activity, they are associated with material association. So anything that is geared towards material association, material desires or proclivities, that will bind us to performing sinful activity. That will bind us to the sinful effects of living in a world of duality. Only someone who is not afflicted by this duality can actually take us out of that entrenchment. And sometimes we see when Lord Shiva approached Lord Vishnu and said, I want to see your bewildering potency. I want to see how you can cover me because I'm your servant. Although I am celebrated as Vaishnavan Yatha Shambhu, I am I'm subservient to you. You are the supreme. So the Lord Shiva approached Lord Vishnu with his wife Parvati, and he desired to see a form of Krishna that would bewilder him and make him understand that actually he is nothing but a servant of Krishna. Krishna's energy is much more powerful. So the Lord showed him his Mohini Murti form, which bewildered Lord Shiva altogether. And Lord Shiva had that conclusion that, yes, this is my Lord, I cannot supersede him. I'm not as powerful as him. I am my own tattva, I am Shiva tattva. But Vishnu tattva is something else. It is beyond my range. Lord Brahma had the same understanding. The famous Brahma Vimohana Lila, right, not being able to understand how the supreme, unlimited, absolute truth is situated as a cowherd boy. But his intelligence could not perceive that. Therefore, he tested Krishna. He tried to see, what can you do to bewilder me? How can you act in such a way that will convince me that you are supreme? And of course, Lord Krishna, in his playful mood, expanded himself into all the cows, into all the cowherd boys, to show Lord Brahma that, you know, it is with just my desire, with just my will, I can bewilder you so easily. And normally when the devatas get bewildered by their pride, they always approach Lord Vishnu for help. They do not even see him, they just approach the shores of the milk ocean and they offer prayers. Lord Brahma, as the representative, offers prayers, and only then through sound they get the confirmation. So even the great devatas, Krishna is the Lord of all the planetary systems, of all the demigods, of all the forefathers. And he's the Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. All the planetary systems are under his control. Everyone is subservient to Krishna. So if we want to become freed from material association, we become free from committing any type of sinful activity. We are protected by Mukunda. We are protected by the master of the senses, Rishikesh, and that is Krishna. So the nature of this material world is that somehow or the other, whether it's willingly or unwillingly, we might commit a sinful activity. That is the nature of this material world. So how we purify ourselves, we get in touch with Krishna. Now Krishna, he is apapa visuddham. Although he purifies those who are contaminated, he does not get tainted at all. Just like the sun. Krishna is always likened to the sun. In terms of knowledge, he dissipates darkness. Wherever there's a sun, there cannot be darkness. So Krishna is like the sun. He purifies everywhere. Right? If it's a sewage or if it's a dirty place, the sun shines nonetheless. But the sun is never contaminated. We can see that there's no distillation plants to try to purify the sun, or we're not coming up with fancy ideas to try and clean or purify the sun. The sun is always pure. Krishna is always pure. Even though he comes into contact with living entities who are contaminated, but just by us touching Krishna, immediately we become pure. Immediately. And just by direct contact with Krishna's direct representatives, we also get purified. Now that is the mystery, that at this point some of us cannot directly perceive that the Acha Vigraha is Krishna himself. Now the devotees help us understand that. And by the devotees teaching us how to see Krishna, just as when Uddhava enters Vrindavan, we see Vrindavan through the eyes of Uddhava. When we go to the Holy Dham, we see the Holy Dham through the eyes of the Acharyas. Because we don't have that, at this point, we do not have that prema to see Vrindavan. The pastimes, they are always going on, but we cannot see. But if we align ourselves with the parampara, with the disciplic succession, then we can make sure advancement. That is why when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes we read a translation and we're bewildered. It looks like a contradiction. Some say it's the Ganges River, some say it's the Yamuna. Was he by the Ganges? Was he by the Yamuna? You know, what's the truth? But Prabhupada always brings in, well, Jiva Goswami, this is what he says. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada will say, well, Jiva Goswami says this and Srila Goswami says this. It is not a contradiction. It is both true. 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1. So we accept that's what is being taught to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically because the Acharyas also explained it very nicely. And if we want to be safe, if we want to guard ourselves from, from mental speculation, we just take shelter of the Acharyas. Because they are not writing on the basis of mental speculation. Just like when we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand that Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, this is mentioned in the Adi Lila, the chapter explained, entitled, what is it called? The author receives orders from Guru. Chapter 9, I can't remember the title. Basically, this is the chapter where Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, under the great push of the Vaishnavas, approaches the Madan Mohan deity and prays and begs for the mercy to be able to write narrations about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although there was already Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Manga was there, still he was approaching the Vaishnavas, and he was approaching the previous Acharyas, he was approaching the deity, he was approaching Krishna for his mercy. So that is the etiquette, that we do not just... This is how we follow the disciplic succession. That we not just one day come up with an idea and it's a great idea, I'm going to do it. There's etiquette to be followed. And one who transgresses the lines of etiquette very surely in the near future commits offenses. If we do not hold etiquette, which is the jewel of the Vaishnava, the decoration of the Vaishnava, Lord Chaitanya said, is that he always follows etiquette. And these etiquettes have been given by the six Goswamis in their books, Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So just as here, when Sukadeva Goswami appears, there's etiquette that is followed from Maharaj Parishit, from the sages, how they receive him. They give him the Vyasasan because they understand his caliber. They understand his qualification as the speaker of Bhagavatam. And they all submissively hear. Although he's externally looking like a 16-year-old boy. And some of the sages are very powerful, very, very powerful sages. Vyasa, so powerful personalities. But still understanding the desire and the will of Krishna, they humble themselves at the lotus feet in a sanctified place, in a purified holy place. One of the potent forms of performing devotional service is residing in a holy place, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what they are preparing to do. And Sukadeva Goswami is just appearing. So it is very important for us to get... by studying Parikshit Maharaja's behavior, we can learn how to deal with making an exit from the material body. And that exit doesn't have to happen at the time of death. We can start understanding the temporariness of our material body. We can start getting detached and attaching ourselves to Krishna. Well, this is not done artificially. This is done by the 9 processes of devotional service. That we gradually develop a higher taste for Krishna and our lower taste diminish. That is the science of bhakti. From our Shravan Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasinam Achanam Balanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam, when we grow in that manner, gradually our attachment to things in this material world, whether they be gross or subtle. We see here Maharaj Parikshit, he had an entire kingdom, wealth, he had a treasury, so many things. But immediately upon hearing that this material body will dismantle very soon, he immediately retired and shifted himself to transcendence immediately. So he had the Sugata Goswami, sorry, Maharaj Parikshit had a, how do you say, he had a warning. He was told he had 7 days. We don't. So we should try and treat every day as if our Krishna consciousness depends on it. Not to wait for 10 or 15 years and say we'll start chanting our japa seriously. We might not have 10, 15 years. Srila Prabhupada said it is a state of emergency. When he met with his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said this movement cannot wait. It can't wait. It is actually an emergency. So this is the mentality of King Parikshit. He sees the urgency. And we are very fortunate that we are reaping the nectar, because now we're being taught, do not wait till death to become serious in Krishna consciousness. You do not have to wait till death. We can be practicing every day. And that is the process of sadhana. We're practicing how to remember Krishna, so that when we exit this body, it is easy for our mind, it is easy for our consciousness to remember Krishna. And wherever we'll go, by Krishna's mercy, Krishna will send more saintly association for our benefit. Krishna will send more Krishna Katha for our benefit. This is Krishna's mercy. And this is what Maharaj Parikshit is seeing. Upon the appearance of Sukadeva Goswami, he's understanding this is Krishna's mercy. The so-called reversal, it is actually Krishna's mercy. The greatest mercy we have is the association of the Vaishnavas, because they carry Krishna Parikshit. Sukadeva Goswami is going to start speaking the Bhagavatam. And there's nothing more relishable for a devotee than to hear subject matter about Krishna. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions or corrections.
Do you want to tell us something about Baldev Vidya Bhushan?
Sorry?
Baldev Vidya Bhushan, today is Abhinandi and Ganga Mata.
Okay, so it's the appearance day of Baladev Vidyabhushan and Ganga Mata. So I'm not well versed in their biographies. Baladev Vidyabhushan, of course, he's one of the acharyas. He wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And if you ever study Bhakti Shastri, maybe you can. I think it's called Gita Bhushan. I'm not sure. But he has written a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. His life sketch is given in that book as well. So he's one of our acharyas, specifically explaining the glories of the Gita. Now, anything else, if anyone has any information they could gather so we can read about these great personalities. Of course, on the internet, that is there in ISKCON Design Tree, there's a whole section of Vaishnava acharyas, their life sketch. We can read about them on this day and pray for their blessings, that we may dedicate our lives also to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, I know.
Maharaj Parikshit is a very exalted and unique personality, and he had an opportunity to be fully conscious at the time of his departure. But there's a big likelihood that we're going to die very, inglorious deaths.
Yeah.
You know, unconscious and struggling like anything. That's not going to be pretty. So, how do we resign ourselves to that eventuality?
Yeah, because that sometimes happens, you know, in the Bhagavatam you read about Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj. I mean, here you have sages, you know, you have Atri Muni, you have so many different sages come, Angira Muni, Parashuram, Vasistha. When we die, I don't think, you know, we won't be having interplanetary visitors coming by our bedside to come and sit with us or speak Bhagavatam. They might be there for some people, maybe not. So how do we resolve this? We're not such great personalities. You know, we're just conditioned souls trying to go back home, back to Godhead. You know, we have in the most difficult situation, Kali Yuga, in a situation where there's almost no hope. We have still this process of Krishna consciousness, and the Acharyas have come, Krishna has come at the end of Dwapara Yuga, of course, and Lord Chaitanya has also advented. And we do know that in Kali Yuga there's just one Mahaguna, as explained. Otherwise everything else is faulty. And that Mahaguna, of course, is the Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna, the congregation chanting. So when we die at our last moments, it might be a scary thought even from now. But Srila Prabhupada always said, if we just stick to the process, Lord Chaitanya's mercy will descend at that point. And even if we don't remember Krishna, Krishna will force himself into our consciousness. Krishna is going to force himself into our consciousness. And we have no idea, sometimes, I'm speaking for myself, we have no idea how powerful the process of bhakti is. Like some of us were very sinful, very, very sinful. Yet somehow or the other you're coming into contact with such an exalted, you know, the topmost yoga system. So we're at an advantage because Lord Chaitanya's understanding that we're very, very fallen. You know, Kali Yuga is Kali Yuga machines are very, very, we're just always disturbed. That's the one quality, we're just always disturbed. This is Kali Yuga. So how can we try and think of Krishna? That Krishna is very merciful, Krishna never sees any fault. Then Krishna will just see the fact that we tried to give this one life. Even if we failed in our endeavor to perfect a service, I listened to a lecture by His Holiness Ramdas Swami, and he was saying, the success of devotional service cannot be measured by material acquisition or a material result. Or we see, okay, the book scores are up, or your cooking sales have gone up. But he said, for Krishna, it is the sincere desire to try to follow those instructions. So at the point of death, the only thing that we had is our devotional service, our sincere efforts. And that is what Krishna sees. Krishna, he owns everything already. Everything belongs to Krishna. It is just Krishna just wants one thing. He wants to see where our heart is. Have we given our heart? Have we indeed given our heart? And that is all, that's all Krishna wants. There's unlimited Lakshmi Sahasra Sattva. You know, there's millions and millions of Lakshmis serving Krishna. And yet Krishna is here waiting for us to offer him his breakfast. Right, sometimes it's right on time, sometimes it's not on time. But Krishna is still there. So Krishna is seeing that the sincere effort, this jiva has done their best to serve. And Krishna reciprocates. Does it kind of do something? Yes, for a moment.
Maharaji, I've had the opportunity of actually seeing a few devotees pass away in front of me. Some of them have been householders, so they've been engaged in materialistic activities through their lives, you know, although they've engaged in devotional services, brahmacharis and brahmacharis in their time. And in my realizations, if they enter another realm, it's like one of my godbrothers, he was saying, it was like the purport from Arjuna, you know, where it's surrounded by the Yama Dutas and the Vishnu Dutas and they're having a conversation.
Yeah.
Even though beside him is the, his relatives and his friends and the servants and everything is surrounded by him, but there's a conversation going on between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas. But this devotee, he was saying, can you see them? Can you see Prabhupada?
Yeah.
And the devotees are looking around, but they couldn't see Prabhupada. And he says, can you see him? He's coming.
Yeah.
So it's a very auspicious time for the devotees, even though through our material eyes we may not see these things, but because we've engaged in Krishna consciousness, or tried to engage in Krishna consciousness to our best ability through our life, then Krishna has promised that he will, Prabhupada will send Prabhupada, Prabhupada will come at that time of death and stand beside us. And Vicharyas and Lord Chaitanya will come and take us by the hand and thank him. Let's go back home.
One friend of mine, their father was passing away, and she was a devotee, and he had come to the temple a few times, did a little bit of service up in the shop, fixing things. And then we called and said, how's your father going? And then she said, he might be going anytime soon. So myself and my husband and Jess went there. And, 8 o'clock, he looked normal. He was saying hi, we were talking to him. And then after 15 minutes, it just went downhill. And we just started chanting Hare Krishna. And this was coming from someone who was only in the association of devotees maybe for a month. And he was chanting. He had colon cancer. So he had deteriorated so much, and his daughter was by his bed helping him chant, having a picture of the deities right in front of him. So his father couldn't speak much. At some point, for a good 15 minutes, he was telling her, it is very painful, I'm in pain, I cannot, it's very painful. And she kept saying, don't worry, Krishna will ease your pain, just look at the deities and try to chant. And after struggling for like 10, 15 minutes, he just kind of let go. And this is someone, he had tumors, you could see it all over his body. And then you could see something changed in his eyes. He just completely, he became attracted by something that we couldn't see. Till this day, we just don't know. Because his eyes went from wandering, to one moment he just saw something and he just did not look anywhere else. And he just stayed there. And he was chanting and chanting and chanting. And he left peacefully. Now, I've seen a few people die who weren't devotees. And they don't want to go because there's so much attachment to the body. But they could see Krishna's mercy came at the right time. Until this day, we're still wondering, what is it or who did he see? Because in a moment, everything just changed. The pain went away and his head literally turned from looking here to looking there and nowhere else for 45 minutes. And he just took his deep breaths and then he left. Very peaceful. Very, very peaceful. So at this last moment, as Prabhupada would say, just give your one life to Krishna. Just stay, just do your best. That's all we can do. It is difficult enough. We have a material body. We have the constraints. We have handicaps. The material body means we're handicapped in so many different ways. But the one thing we can do, we can just use our tongue, we can use our mind to think of Krishna. And Krishna is very merciful. He's extremely merciful. And Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful. And Lord Nityananda is an ocean of mercy. And the Vaishnavas are everything that we have. Everything we have is the devotee's mercy. And the devotees will come to us at the perfect moment to give us Krishna. And that's what we see with Maharaj Parikshit. He was feeling embarrassed that Krishna is sending all the saintly association. This is his mercy. Even if a devotee is not there, but a devotee is thinking of your welfare, a devotee is praying for your welfare. Just like, you know, there's some birds, they do not sit on their eggs. They meditate on them, and that is how they grow. So the guru, the Vaishnavas, they think, they wish the other Vaishnavas well. They pray to Krishna for their benefit. That is powerful in itself. This is how powerful having devotee Sangha is. Kal Sophia von Obertan, Gantara Chimat Bhagatan Ki, Shiva Prabhupada Ki.